Before we get started on today's show, you know, talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy, and usually we just try to brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, working from home, but I had a long day at work, and I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it is simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The whole process is straightforward. It's simple and discreet. Again, getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/glue and complete a free online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/glue and you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/glue. GetRoman.com/glue. On today's episode of The Glue Guys, we're going to follow up on our Levert line conversation and add a new name to the list. The people wanted some Paul George trade discussion, Brian. Yeah.
Big fallout.
And then we're going to do a new segment called Blank Slate, wow, which is too long to describe within this format, but trust me, you'll maybe want to listen.
Followed by Blank Check, where we discuss the seminal children's film from the 1990s. That's not going to happen.
Blank Check's on Disney Plus, by the way. I don't know. You probably don't get Disney Plus, do you?
Wow.
Well, fucking you're not a parent.
You dumpstered. Don't, like, holy shit.
You don't. Okay. Tell me if you get Disney Plus.
No, I don't.
Okay. That's right. I'm just because you're not a parent. It's not. The Pixar doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah, this should be the intro, by the way. We should just come in right here.
Just put all this
new in. Intro.
Welcome back to The Glue Guys. Hello. This is Mike here. Say hello.
Jumping in.
Hello. Brian.
Hi.
By the way, I was listening back to our Amin El Hassan pod, and I loved your initial skittishness to doing the hello. And then you went for it, man.
I was thinking about how that would... I didn't listen back, you know, on purpose. I was thinking about how that would have read to a listener. Probably not great. You know, whatever.
I thought you boldly went where no man has gone before, and I'm proud of you.
Appreciate it.
By the way, that episode is still in our archives, as in like four episodes ago. It is a banger of all bangers. I urge everyone, because Amin dropped some knowledge bombs about Steve Nash, because he worked with Steve Nash, and about what the Nets should maybe kind of do in the offseason. So it's like a fine wine. It's expensive. You know what I mean?
We paid out the ass.
Sorry. Sorry. That was a bad joke. Anyways, hey, Glue Guys, The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/glueguys. Just start a subscription for $1 a month. You can get in at $1 a month. It is so exciting. There's amazing content. There's a lot of mock drafts from Sam Vecenie coming out very soon. There's incredible writing across the team. And also on there, and you can find the podcast accompaniment to this, but David Aldridge, Hall of Famer, NBA reporter David Aldridge, and Waz Lambre, his co-host on their podcast on The Athletic NBA Show, had on Nate Silver, 538's Nate Silver, one of the brightest minds in all of the internets. Nate talked about the election, which I think matters to some people. And he also talked about the Nets versus Knicks. How great. You couldn't want anything more. So go to theathletic.com and search for it. Or you can just search for it on iTunes, The Athletic NBA Show. Brian! Wow, Brian. The groundswell of support for our Levert Line podcast was overwhelming. I'm really appreciative of everyone who came out and, like, really, I got handwritten letters. I haven't given out my address, but people found my address just to say how great those episodes were.
There's only like one or two tweets of that, that very particular kind of tweet from like just a an egg, default egg person that's like, this sucks, stop talking about this, which is par for the course. Actually, well under where I was expecting that number of tweets to be.
The number of the angry tweets, because anytime you mention Caris LeVert in a trade, people get furious. Where if you mention Spencer Dinwiddie, people love it.
Sometimes people don't realize that we've talked about the Nets for 8 years now, Michael. Literally hundreds of hours, like a couple of psychopaths. So, you know, we have to talk about all kinds of different things on the show. You know, it has to happen.
We are psychotic.
It is crazy. It's a crazy thing to do.
Hashtag, we are psychotic. So today's episode is going to be a fun one. Sort of a part three over LeVert line, but a mini part three. Sort of like, you know when Gilmore Girls ran for seven seasons on WB?
I do know that, yeah.
I think WB. And then they did like a four-episode Sojourn on Netflix.
Okay.
Just to like, here's where we're at now.
These are things that you know deeply. Like, you know this information.
Because yeah. I just watched all of Gilmore Girls.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. It's a bundle of fun.
What do you take back from that? Anything? What do you got?
Do you really want to hear my... I have the Gilmore Girls takes.
We maybe want to put it at the end of the show, but yeah, I do.
Yeah, we'll put it... Yeah, that'll be the tease at the end of the show. You can hear my Gilmore Girls takes.
Yeah.
The basics of it are, the Gilmore Girls, the mother and daughter, are two of the more likable characters you could have on television. And they're surrounded by the most unlikable people possible. Unintentionally unlikable. And I'm unclear of how that wasn't a note where like eight of these characters are bad, boring people. But anyway, so this is like a mini thing. We're going to talk about Paul George because Paul George is maybe kind of sort of available from the Clippers.
I mean, after that.
Brian Lewis wrote something about Joe Harris's free agent market.
Mm.
And then we'll talk blank slate. Blank slate is basically if you ripped each of these contending teams down to their studs, meaning their two best players, but also studs, that's of course, is an expansion.
A double entendre. Kind of works both ways. An entendre.
What team would you build? Basically, like, forget everyone else on the roster. If you could build the perfect team around these two players on each of the teams, so KD and Kyrie, we'll do the Sixers. What type of team would you build? This was the longest intro we've ever had, by the way.
This is still an intro, you think, in your mind?
It feels very intro-y. And I'm on the Athletic Slack because I work for the Athletic, and the No Dunks guys, which are, you know, if you don't know who No Dunks are, they're the starters. What were their other names in the past?
J.E. Ski. The Basketball Jones.
So, you know, legends in basketball podcasting. And their one piece of advice for everyone is like, if you do a podcast, just get into it. Don't do what we're doing. So word wrong.
Word to the wise.
Brian.
Michael.
Paul George.
Okay.
Before I construct a LeVert line package for you, what are your feelings about Paul George? Were you emotional? Because people are...
They're polarized.
I don't know what Paul George really did to deserve like the level of shame he's getting on the internet. I know he filmed a commercial like 5 years ago talking about how great he is in the playoffs, and then he's literally been one of the worst superstars in the playoffs. I understand that. But people like they're pitchforks and pitch axes are out for Paul George. I don't know where you're at emotionally, though, with him.
I'm emotionally pretty removed from all that, though. You know, there is, I don't know, I get it on some level. It's like if you're going to talk that talk, you better back it up, Mike. But I think I don't know. Wait, just do a quick summary. Remind me of what exactly was like the most recent thing. I'm trying to remember what exactly was the fallout from this.
Well, so there's a story. The most recent thing is on The Athletic. Shams Charania reported that, I guess after the Clippers lost in the playoffs, rather embarrassingly to the Denver Nuggets, Paul George said in the locker room to his fellow players, hey guys, like, let's just all stay together. As we continue to grow and build together, our team is going to be unstoppable. And there's like a couple of free agents on the Clippers. And as Shams wrote it, Clippers players were eye rolling because Paul George couldn't even back up his like superstar status in the playoffs. And now they're hearing this guy who was terrible in the playoffs telling them, hey, let's all just stick together. Let's all stay together because we're all going to be great together, which, not wrong, but maybe not the right time to deliver that message to a room that is a dejected locker room at that point. And then there's like, he got in a fight with Damian Lillard on Instagram about, you know, like Paul George was talking that S to Damian Lillard a little bit, and Lillard just like went back, and everyone loves Damian Lillard. He's favorite son on the internet. There's just a series of L's for Paul George consistently in high leverage moments. And, you know, so people don't like him. People don't like the guy. I don't know why. Seems innocent. Would you want him to be a Brooklynette?
So wait, what was the package that was in that tweet exactly? Should we do it the right way?
Yeah, so we got tweeted at us by one of the greats of the shows. Let me get it correctly. He's at Netshead 11. I'm pretty sure he's Sean Goodfriend.
It could be a good friend.
I'm pretty sure.
Although he didn't seem to get that when he sent that tweet to him about that. He didn't.
It's very mysterious. Netshead 11. He tweeted at us, Paul George. Nets get Paul George, Clippers get Caris, Spencer, Jared Allen, and 2 first-round picks. So basically, it's the full boat, right? Like, you're doing, that's the, hey, I'm going full bore at this. We're putting all of our chips in the middle. This is all of our trade assets for the most part, besides, like, way into the future first-round picks, to get Paul George on the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant team. Does that feel right to you in this moment?
Having not thought about it a ton up until right this second, the basketball geometry of it is kind of tempting if you're getting the Paul George that is consistent and good and all of that, which, you know, that's a far cry. But, you know, elite 3-4 wing defender kind of thing is definitely a thing that we could use on this team. It's something that we often talk about as being that next, like, what is part of it? What do we need? We need this defense, this, which I always kind of like think is overblown. Some people agree or some people disagree, like, super hard that, like, defense, I feel like it just kind of comes. Like, you've talked about this, where if you are committed to winning a lot of games, like, defenses kind of arrive or they don't. And oftentimes, like, I mean, we've pointed to good teams in the past that have, you know, played above the curve, well above the curve, with some very bad defenses. So anyways, that's all to say, like, this solves a whole lot of our defensive conversations. That package, though, it makes me sad. That's a sad package. I don't want to give up all that, you know? I feel kind of torn. I don't know. That's not an easy one for me, Mike. And it's funny that we didn't even think about it in our initial pass-through on this.
Because subject. We did 18 names, and actually we did 20 names, and not one of them was Paul George.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of think – I don't really think they're going to trade Paul George. No. It would be, that'd be pretty crazy. Drastic. Yeah. Though, I don't think, like – you know how we talk about Kyrie and Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan are inseparable, at least at this moment?
Mm.
I don't think Kawhi views Paul George in that way.
No.
I don't think he thinks of, like, Paul George as, like, that's my guy and we're ride or die.
Yeah.
You know, they're not Paul Walker and Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious. They're more Jason Statham and The Rock in Hobbs and Shaw. You know, it's a powerful team up, but there's some dissonance between the two. But, like, so we go back to the me and Al Hassan pod. Where he's like, construct the perfect third guy to go with KD and Kyrie. You're describing Paul George, right? Like, you're describing defense. Paul George is previously thought of as one of the best defensive wings in the league.
Is that, has he lost that meme? Is that you said previously, and that seems to not be checked out, huh?
Yeah, I think health has made it a decline. I mean, he's had a lot of shoulder issues, and, you know, I can't tell you. I don't have the analytics on how much shoulder problems impact defensive play. I don't have that readily available, but I think that there's a slight decline of what we think of Paul George. And also, like anything in basketball, offense and defense included, which is all of basketball, sort of the press you get about the thing that you're doing is why we maybe don't think of you as good of a defender, even if you are consistent in how good you are as a defender, right? Like, Paul George had this moment where he was the guy who was the unappreciated, underappreciated superstar. So then we only talked about how great his defensive was and how great his shooting was. And then he goes to Oklahoma City with Russ, and that doesn't do anything. And now he goes to the Clippers. He raises a level from Pacers to Thunder to Clippers, and, like, he's not succeeding, right? He's not expanding and succeeding on the level that all the hype was sort of warranted. So it just gets back to, like, I think if you were to rank him as a wing defender, he would still be top 10 wing defender, at least potential-wise. But he's not what we think of, like, Kawhi. Like, Kawhi is just in that class by himself pretty much when he wants to be. But, again, if you're constructing the perfect third star, it's Paul George, the three-point shooting, defending wing who doesn't actually really need the ball all that much, really doesn't desire to have like a ton of touches. Kind of like the Paul George is the perfect temperament, because I think people get on him because he's a little too like just chill and is not as engaged as he seems he should be given his talent level. But you actually kind of want that to be your third star. It's sort of Klay Thompson-esque. Klay Thompson to me is like the ideal lowest level star you could get, because he doesn't seem to care. And only he does care about his shooting and defense. I love Paul George. Like I don't agree with the hate. I don't agree with the anger, but that's a lot of stuff to want to give up for Paul George. And I don't know if like, I think if you construct a trade where it's Paul George and Pat Beverly, and you get two really good pieces. So it's almost like the Kawhi Danny Green trade to the Raptors, where not only did they get Kawhi, but they got Danny Green, who ended up being one of their five best players when they won the finals. Like if you can construct that kind of lineup, and then I'm looking at, you know, Kyrie, Bev, Paul George, KD, and DeAndre, that's a crusty lineup. That's a pretty crusty lineup right there. But that's a tough, you have two pretty elite wing defenders. You have KD. Kyrie is, you know, I know he's maligned for his defense, but he can do it. And then DeAndre Jordan, who's just the crustiest of crusty big men.
No,
you can have at this point.
No,
he's a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart. I don't think it's realistic, though. There's no way that they're going to do like the. There's no way the Clippers trade Paul George unless if Kawhi's like New Balance called and says we have to get rid of Paul George.
Yeah,
that's it.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you think so? I'm looking at Paul George's Basketball Reference. Per usual, I have some questions about how.
Yeah, that's my homepage.
How we got his nicknames. So one is just Batman, which is at some point we got in the habit of just like picking a. In some cases, if you're really unlucky, you get a DC superhero to be named after.
I mean, Shaq was Superman or Diesel or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Shaq was worthy of the Superman label. Dwight Howard, not so much.
It's not good. Either way, like you could end up Dwayne Wade and be called Flash, which is.
That was stupid.
Really embarrassing. Not embarrassing for him, just embarrassing for the people.
For us.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
Humanity, yes.
And one of them is Playoff P for Paul George. Is that a jab at him? Is that a sardonic Playoff P? Or is that like...
That is now become... It was something that felt a pure and aspirational has now become a sort of weight around his foot.
Yeah.
The ball and chain, because Playoff P is the way he's described to us now, which, as you said, is sardonic. It's not what you want if you're Paul George. But just like, so it's bad in the playoffs. And ultimately what the Nets are going to need is a ride or die team in the playoffs. Like you're going to want your best five that you know you can go to war with, blah, 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 blah. And that's kind of the Karras question that we can't answer quite yet. He's been in the playoffs. He's played well in the playoffs, but you know he's only played in the first round twice, so it's not like this great body of work. Paul George, you know, he did have success early in his career, and if he goes from the Robin in the Clippers to the Alfred in Brooklyn, that he's a good Alfred. He's an exceptional Alfred. He's maybe
demotion all the way to Alfred. We're not even Robin. Not even.
Well, Robin's number two, right? Or Nightwing. If you want to go Nightwing, you can go Nightwing. I'm fine with that. Who's like who's Batman's like
number
second or third in line? Is it Batgirl?
It's not Alfred. It's Alfred.
Batgirl.
Alfred. Alfred answers the doorbell. He's not part of the team.
I'm talking Christopher Nolan, Alfred. I'm talking Morgan Freeman. I'm talking he's designing tech.
Wait, I thought it was Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking
what was Morgan Freeman in?
He's like the guy that runs the Wayne.
Fox?
Yeah. What's his
Something
name?
Fox?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe he's that guy.
Yeah.
He's designing
that's
tech.
At least
he's building the Batmobile. He's in research and development.
He's not brewing tea. It's a big difference.
Dude, I don't know. I think the new Batman that is coming out from Matthew Vaughn called The Batman, which is the Robert Pattinson
the
movie.
The Batman.
I forget who's playing Alfred, but it's going to be a rough and tumble Alfred. I think there's an element to Alfred's backstory where he was like a pilot in the British Air Force. like the Her Majesty's Air Force. I think they're going to lean on that. The actor is the guy who played Adrian Veidt in the Watchmen TV series that just came out. I can see his face perfectly.
Andy Serkis? He's a
real weirdo. Huh?
Is it Andy Serkis?
No. Andy Serkis is playing, I think, some villain, as he usually does.
Alfred Pennyworth. I don't know. I'm lost.
Is that who's playing Pennyworth? Alfred is Andy Serkis?
Is Pennyworth the same? Why is it? Why do they keep calling it Alfred Pennyworth? Is that his?
Well, that's him. Yeah, that's him.
That's what it says.
Let's see who's playing Adrian Veidt in the TV show. Was played by Jeremy Irons. I don't know where I got Jeremy Irons from as being. Oh, because he played Alfred in Zack Snyder's Dawn of Justice and Justice League. Okay, never mind. Who gives a shit? Anyways, Paul George is Alfred, and it's settled. And I wouldn't give up.
Just give him Smeagol. I mean, if we're going Andy Serkis characters, just go all the way down to Gollum, you know?
How dare you? Actually, I just watched sometimes when I'm on my elliptical.
You put on the Two Towers? Yeah.
I watched the end of Two Towers.
Just over and over again, that's the one you put on?
No, yeah. I put on, it's in the rotation though, right. For sure. Like, I just watched, the latest Avengers movie, right? Whatever the one where they finally actually defeat Thanos.
Endgame.
Beautiful. I mean, wow. I think maybe a top three movie of all time. Wow. But Two Towers is like on there. Like, you watch the last 45 minutes, you skip the Ents part, you know, when the trees are throwing rocks at a tower.
You don't
skip
like that? I like those guys.
Yeah, I like those guys. But when you're on an elliptical, I need myself some Legolas and that dwarf guy.
Yeah,
we should get Spencer Dinwiddie on because I think he's a big LOTR fan. There's some holes.
Okay.
In the military strategy of the human elf dwarf people in their battle against the orcs.
All right.
I think militarily they were lacking in intelligence. Let me just say that.
Sure.
But we'll talk about it. Yeah, anyways,
at the end of the show.
How about we do this? How about we take a break?
Okay.
And then we'll come back. We'll talk Joe Harris and then Blank Slate.
Love it.
Week 2 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 3. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And here's the deal. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right. You can place a $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you cash a cool Benjamin. How could you pass that up? I'm telling you, Brian, how could you? DraftKings is, and this is important, it's safe, reliable, and secure, makes it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. That's a big thing. I have plenty of friends who gamble on sports, and being able to get back your money is kind of important.
It's big, yeah. You want that.
So here's what you're going to do. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code QUICK when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week 3, bet $1 on them to win, and then you win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code QUICK during signup for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Sorry. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Joe Harris, Brian, is the hanging chad of the Nets.
Bell of the ball.
Election push. Joe Harris is the hanging chad. So Joe Harris is, of course, a free agent. The Nets can offer him, I believe, unlimited sums of money, more than any team in the league. But they have a serious question they have to face, because do you pay Joe Harris X amount of dollars to stay on this team when this team is getting increasingly more expensive? You have a Spencer Dinwiddie extension possible in the future. You have a Jared Allen extension possibly in the future. How do you consider the Joe Harris problem? And our friend at the New York Post, Brian Lewis, wrote a story. Yeah, just still pumping out the stories and giving us the good reporting in this minute. And he says, essentially, what could Joe Harris get? And he says, you look at basically like Seth Curry is a good example, like in terms of just like an elite three-point shooter. I think Joe is a better player than Seth, but there's like they're relatively on the same plane. Seth Curry's been making $7.7 million a year. Bobby Marks from ESPN says if Harris got a starting salary of $12.2 million, which doesn't seem that crazy, the Nets could face a $50 million luxury tax. And then, quoting Brian Lewis here, some around the NBA opined Harris could earn as much as $15 million. The suitors, basically ending them with space, the Hawks, the Knicks, Charlotte, Minnesota, something like that. Are you worried? Like, where's your worried meter on the Joe Harris is becoming, is going to return a Net?
I guess I hadn't thought I didn't see the Bobby Marks thing. With $50 million, does seem like that's a pretty hefty tax. I didn't know that.
I think the equation though that goes into it is like, it's not just signing Joe Harris. It's like, right, the combination of extending Joe Harris for that amount of money, and then you're paying, like, maybe you're paying Garrett Temple again, and then you're filling out your roster with minimum salaries. So it's the full composition the Nets may owe $50 million in luxury tax in a season where there's not probably going to be fans fully in Barclays. So you're taking a hit. I mean, it has to be considered. But as our buddy Bob Windrum would say, no one has made more money during this pandemic than Josiah, allegedly. So, and he seems to be a rather committed soul in helping the team, you know, achieve the next level. Frankly, I'm not worried at all.
Oh, really? You don't think the market's going to be hot for Joe Harris?
I think it's going to be, it's going to be like fairly warm. You know, it's like delivery pizza warm. You're going to get it.
You're not ordering from Domino's, I can tell, because it always comes out piping hot from Domino's.
Oh, yeah. Well, Domino's has a special chemical in it that I yeah. that just lights it on fire constantly. It guarantees it only cools down, Domino's pizza, when it burns the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
And then it will immediately cool down to like a freezing cold level.
Yes.
I don't know how they do it.
And also beneficial is out of your system in 30 minutes or less. That's the in and out.
You get your food in 30 yeah. minutes or less, or it's free. And if right. it's not out of your system in 30 minutes or less, right. it is also free.
Yeah, nice.
That's our guarantee nice. At Domino's.
Nice.
Go to the code THEATHLETIC. I shouldn't joke about that. Nice. Anyways, I'm just not worried because Joe Harris, we're told by Sean Marks that Joe Harris is a priority. I think while we could fantasize, or not even fantasize, it wouldn't be wouldn't be a speculation that we enjoy, but you could see the Hawks being interested in Joe Harris because it adds another shooter to a already like pretty intriguing shooting team. You could see the Knicks wanting to do it because they really need shooting. But Joe Harris just like feels securely a Net.
Oh, and interesting. You're going with a feels argument here, huh?
He says he wants to be back. Sean Marks says it's a priority. You know, Marks could easily just say, like, we are 100% happy that Joe is on our team now. We are evaluating everything. This is an unpredictable offseason or something like that. Though if he said that, we'd all be going crazy. I'm so confident that Joe Harris is going to be Net because they can pay him whatever they want. And yet affects the luxury tax. But if you're Joe Tsai and you made this pitch partly to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that if you come here, I will give you every resource that I can to win you guys a championship here in Brooklyn, to help you win me a championship in Brooklyn, it would almost be a pretty damaging part of their relationship if immediately he cheaped out and did the Prokhorov route. The Prokhorov route meaning when Paul Pierce was up for free agency, the Nets didn't try to resign Paul Pierce at the number that they needed to, which basically was the death knell for the KG Paul Pierce trade forever being redeemable. You know, Prokhorov got cheap at that point and Pierce left. It'd be weird if Tsai got just suddenly cheap for Joe Harris. Now I could see the Garrett Temple factor, like them not accepting Garrett Temple and letting him go away.
You don't think that there's a price at which Joe Tsai does not match Joe Harris? You think that this, cause like, here's what I think. I think it's possible that, I think the PR around pursuing someone like Joe Harris is really good, especially if you're like a Knicks or Hawks team whose PR needs some work. It's a I'm doing the right things kind of move, right? You want to hear those rumors from management that you're pursuing system players like Joe Harris, who, to my eye, is one of like the elite sort of doing the right thing systems player. He falls at the maybe too expensive for the kind of actual output that you're going to get from him, because like while his numbers are great, percentage-wise, his volume output never super high. You know, you're not going to get huge, like a bunch of huge games from Joe Harris. He's not a third anything. You know, he's a system guy. He's like a really great rotational player that you can count on for a lot of like stopgap kind of solutions for things. But you're not, I don't have the same kind of fear about him. Like, even after like Bojan Bogdanovic went on to have an ascendant career post Nets, we had pegged him in a Joe Harris type role, and he was so much more, Mike. I don't worry about that for Joe Harris, I guess. This doesn't seem like where, it's not where his bread is buttered exactly. So for those reasons, I think that there is like a cap, right? You don't want to be the guy that's paying $18 million a year for Joe Harris. That's not what you do. So yeah, so if there's like, in your mind, if that range of, let's say, 4 to 5 million, if Joe Harris looks at that and says, that's not worth it for me to leave, which I think it's possible that they can get an uncomfortable offer in the 15 to 16 million range. I think it's possible. And Joe Harris, well, what do you think? You don't think so? You're huffing.
No. Okay. So let's look at recent history, right? As guys, because I'm seeing a lot of information on like, so I was reading a David Aldridge piece on The Athletic where he thinks that like the mid-level exception, which will be about $9.5 or $9 million or whatever it is, it's about $10 million, that like Joe Harris would be a guy that a lot of teams would target for that exception, and he'd probably, that's his value, right? If you look at recent history and like shooters, now J.J. Redick's older, and I think Joe Harris has more, you know, off-the-bounce game for sure, but J.J. Redick got $13.5 million last year and then a $13 million for next year from the New Orleans Hornets. New Orleans Hornets, the Pelicans. Oh, my God. Danny Green, who is not as good of a shooter, but a much better defender. I love Joe, but Danny Green is a better defender. Danny Green got about $15 million a year. And if we want to go to our boy Alan Crabb got $17, whatever. You know, he got that ridiculous contract from Sean Marks all those years ago. He's been paying out like $17 million a year or whatever he is. And you could go on down the line a little bit further, and you find, you know, sort of more shooters that are within that $10 to $15 million range. The thing I think with Joe, it's like, I think you're right. I love him. There's a ceiling, though, because he isn't like a Tim Hardaway Jr., where Tim Hardaway, who was overpaid the second he signed that contract with the Knicks, Tim Hardaway could at least, like, you could glimpse into a 22-point-per-game score with him because he's just going to give you the volume. Where Joe Harris is efficient, but he's never going to be that guy. He refuses to allow himself to become that type of player. And it's the betterment for the team, actually, that he's not that type of player. But I think he's, like, I don't think it's going to get to the $18 million mark. I'll say that. I don't think it's going to get into that frothy territory. I think it's going to stay between the mid-level exception and $15 million a year.
Sorry, am I reading this right? Did J.J. Redick have 1 year with his first year with the 76ers at $23 million? Is that possible?
He had a one-year deal,
yeah,
that he signed that was, that's just like a weird bubble contract.
Yeah.
Because they had like a ton of cap space, and it was a smart move, I think, because then you have, it gives you like a huge flexibility for how you'd sign an extension if you wanted to or whatever. I just think Joe Harris is not going to get the 18. That's a ton of money. That's how much money Draymond Green is making this season. That's Gary Harris money. Like, not that Gary Harris is, that's Evan Fournier money. That's
Harris money you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
The problem with Gary Harris is that name. It's just too much.
Gary Harris. Yeah. It's such a kid
you know in middle school, you know, Gary Harris. What's Gary Harris doing?
What's he up to? I heard he's working at like a software manufacturer.
Yeah. Good for him.
Do those exist?
He bought a house, software. Gary. Yeah.
Bought a house.
He's up there. Yeah. He's upstate now.
Good guy. Yeah. upstate. Yeah. Let's say it's $15 million a year. $15 million, you have to become with Joe Harris. And, you know, let's not be sheep about this. You know, if you sign Joe Harris, he's a trade asset then. You sign him, you want him to be part of your team. Let's say it doesn't work out this next upcoming season. Well, you have Joe Harris's contract to trade, and you're pretty sure he's not going to be a bad contract. It's not going to be the Taurean Prince deal, where I am still unclear why Sean Marks immediately gave Taurean Prince a contract extension. That he showed nothing with the team because he wasn't with the team, and they give him a contract extension, and now it's not something that the team would want to have on their books. Joe Harris, like, you know what he is. And if he's at JJ Redick money, about 13 and a half, you're good with that. Like, you can trade Joe Harris at that number. So I think it's like, there's a lot of avenues where it's like, it shows KD and Kyrie that you're trying to keep the team or keep the team at its optimum level. He fits what this team should want. I mean, it's kind of, it is tantalizing to think about Joe Harris just like waiting there for a pass from Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. And if it doesn't work out, you just trade him with whoever and you can get something for Joe Harris. You know, to me, it just makes sense in all the different directions. Is he, in fact, your number one priority for this offseason? I would say, what else is there to do besides making a big trade?
Yeah, I mean, in lieu of that, sure. Heck, I mean, like, it could be that this team does not change, but we've often talked about how this is, like, a time of either great change or no change, and it's very possible that this is not very much change on the horizon.
Hey, I'm Taz Malice of No Dunks on The Athletic. Do you want to walk into a room with your chest puffed out, your neck long, and your shoulders broad? Of course you do. For me, getting clothes that fit properly can give me the confidence I need to do just that. Indochino hooked me up with the gear that fits perfectly. I dreaded getting dressed for my Zoom meetings, but now I change for each one with a big smile on my face. I did a virtual fitting on Indochino's slick website for them to get my measurements. I didn't have to talk to a single human. There are so many options. Here are a few I chose. A long shirt, because I tuck it in. I got a No Dunks monogram, and I decided against a shirt pocket. I sincerely did not think that custom fit clothing was this affordable, and all customizations are included in the cost. The website keeps your measurements on file so you never have to re-enter them. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $2.99 with all customizations included. Indochino is a no-brainer if you're getting married. Visit one of the Indochino showrooms across North America. Or book a virtual appointment like I did and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $3.99 or more when you enter code TAS. Not ass, TAS, T-A-S, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code TAS.
The one thing that we didn't bring up in the Clippers conversation that I wanted to is... I know Spencer's sensitive about this.
Oh, jeez, come on. Turn off the show now, Spencer.
Yeah, everyone in Nets Twitter loves to throw Spencer Dinwiddie into every trade possible, and I would get why someone would be uncomfortable with that situation when they log onto Twitter as much as Spencer Dinwiddie does and seeing in their mentions, hey, do you think the Nets could trade Dinwiddie for every other player in the NBA who's probably not as good as Spencer Dinwiddie? But...
Dude, the people that like respond to him too on those things, like we were talking about that that Scoop tweet or whatever, and he retweeted it being like sad face, you know, something to that effect, and like a bunch of just people like jumped on and being like, yeah, but you know it's true, Spencer, like you're expendable or like all this shit. It's like, damn, the balls on you people, like what's wrong with you?
Screw you guys. I mean, like, and also Spencer was just trying to have like fun, like that's part of his brand is to engage with the larger Twitter debate that often involves his name. He's not like, that's the fun part of him as opposed to blockchain. I still don't know what blockchain is, Brian. I'm lost with the blockchain. But here's my Spencer Dinwiddie trade for the Clippers. If they keep Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie does become the guy that you kind of look to and you say, I think that you could probably get a backup point guard to protect you from a Kyrie injury that's cheapish. Okay, well, let's use Dinwiddie to get some wing depth, get some defense. And I've been thinking about like a Clippers trade where the Clippers desperately need a point guard and they don't have it. And there's only so many available that are actually interesting. And of course, Spencer's from LA, though he grew up a Lakers fan. So what does that really matter? People aren't going to like this. And I don't even know if I really like it, but there's something there. Dinwiddie for Landry Shamet and Pat Beverly. And what that does for you is... It gets you Pat Beverly on this team. It gets you a defensive guard who can shoot threes.
It finally gets you Pat Beverly on this team. Yeah.
It gets you grumpy Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
And like they don't really like Landry Shamet at the Clippers. Like he kind of has sucked since he went to the Clippers, and when he was like ascendant with the 76ers, gives you like a little bit, because you're not going to do Pat Beverly straight up for Spencer Dinwiddie. Like Spencer's above Pat Beverly in the pecking order at this point, age wise, production wise, everything. You could get something else from the Clippers. They don't have first round picks to give up. You know, you're not going to want Ivat Zubac. You know, you're not going to want Montrezl Harrell's a free agent. They're not going to give up Lou Williams unless if Lou Williams is a problem in the locker room, which doesn't seem like he is. The guys that are expendable are Landry Shamet and Pat Beverly, maybe. Okay, so then here's your lineup. It's Kyrie, Pat Bev next to him, just shooting threes and playing defense. Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan. You still have, you're probably starting Caris LeVert. You have Caris LeVert. You still have Jared Allen. And Landry Shamet's like, let's see if we can get him back to the level he should be. That gives you three potentially elite shooters in Shamet, Joe Harris, Torian Prince, not elite, but he's a shooter. Interesting. Just saying. Do you hate it?
Well, I didn't hate it when we talked about it yesterday. And then I was just realizing I don't know. It just feels like such a trade down. I don't know. I don't know why it suddenly feels that way.
I know. It does. It does. It does feel like, I feel like you can get more for Spencer, but the thing is it fits better, right? Like it gives you a guard who doesn't need the ball, gives you a guard who's only focused on defense. And then it gives you Landry Shamet, who no one likes, but I do. And I think he's an interesting guy to kind of tack onto a trade. Okay. That's it. I don't think we need to do blank slate. Let's bottle blank slate.
Yeah. Bottle it. I can't believe we led with it. I will say I've been thinking a lot about this will be the big tease. The Rocket situation with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, I find if you strip that team down to the studs, it's the most interesting to think about, because the real problem is Russell Westbrook in my mind and the way that he plays basketball.
He just shouldn't
shoot as much. And that's like literally, if he just took a page out of the Rajon Rondo book, you know, they would be he's so talented at the not scoring parts of basketball that and he's like such a weird, peculiar kind of scorer that it might make more sense for him to just stop shooting so damn much.
I think they're the most interesting too, because their team was so constructed around James Harden, and then they bring in Chris Paul, and that was like weird, and then they bring in Russ. And then they just said, we can't have a center if we have Russ, so we're going to get rid of our centers. And then their team is really left with just like a bunch of dudes who stand around, and then James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So you could recreate a new team. Anyway, so that's blank slate. So we'll do blank slate.
And it's funny, just one last thing, though. It's funny to think about, because like you're trading your like center for that, which like I love the idea of it and everything like that. But his 2-point percentage, like a true like finisher center, you're going to want to be in the like 60% range of finishing twos, you know, and he's just not there. He's at 50%. That's a big difference.
Next week, blank slate is what we'll do. I'm sure we're going to have so much more Nets news. Hopefully Kevin Durant will be on another podcast. We should mention that. Let's just do it now quickly. So I don't know if you saw what Kevin Durant said on Joe Budden's podcast. Have you seen the Knicks trolling thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, he was asked, you know, were you going to go to the Knicks? He said, no, I never planned on going to the Knicks. That was just the media putting it out there. And I was thinking around February, which is interesting. As I was thinking, I didn't want to be the savior of the Knicks or New York. I didn't care about being the king of New York. That never moved me. I didn't care about being on Broadway or that shit. And then he talks about how Knicks fans and media were constantly bugging him and bothering him the whole year. And then he's like, now it's my time to talk about it, and I have to shut up now. I've been waiting to ask these questions for a year, which I fucking love. Mm-hmm. I love that attitude. I love that anger.
Wait, what questions?
Like that Knicks fans are now mad at him for talking about the Knicks when he's asked the questions about the team. When he's like, basically, you MFers, you guys were in my mentions all year saying, oh, KD to the Nets, KD to the Knicks. That's what Knicks fans sound like sometimes. And now he's like, well, I'm here in New York, but I'm not with you guys, so I'm supposed to just be quiet when you guys were just adding me all the time. What I want to ultimately say about this, Brian, is that we were right, because we both sussed out that there's this weird complex out there that to be the king of New York, you must conquer the beast that is being a part of the Knicks and being, you know, defeating the next level boss at the Garden, right? Like you need to be Mario jumping through pipes and jumping on shells to become the king of New York, right? Who wants to do that? Like, who wants to go through Final Fantasy VII and go through all of that muck just to beat the game in 200 hours, right?
You know, I downloaded that and played about 15 minutes of it, and I was like, what? Why did I do this? I'm not going to do this. I shouldn't do this. I've never played it before, and I was like, you know what? I was fine.
There's fucking time for that.
I was fine.
When I was 13, that was the... And I would go to sleepovers. Yeah, that was cool. But I don't have time for that. KD, like all of us, instant gratification, path of least resistance. Why would we ever... Like, who would willingly choose the harder situation? Sure, the juice could be sweeter once you're able to squeeze the fruit. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a saying. Big time.
The stone fruit.
Yeah.
You know?
star fruit. So star fruit.
But no one in their life would ever choose an intensely more pressurized situation where really, if you succeed, the chance of succeeding is less. And like the benefit of succeeding is not all that different from like if you won a championship with the Nets or let's say he went to Boston or wherever he went to in the NBA, he would still feel a certain level of success that would not be vastly different than if he won as a New York Knicks superstar.
So I forget which interview he said it on, and this is the one that he was like the most hard hitting on. I forget what it was, but I wish I could remember. I think it was All the Smoke. Anyways, it was basically like the people in my age group didn't grow up thinking that the Knicks were cool. That is the decades long dwindling import of the New York Knicks, just completely laid bare for everyone to see. It's just, you're not as cool. It's not that cool. Nobody cares as much as you think they care. That's the thing.
So that was on Joe Budden's podcast. He said, you know, I've seen the Knicks in the finals, but kids coming up after me didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as cool. The cool thing now is not the Knicks. And he said that before, too. I think he said it on Hot 97.
Yeah, that would.
It's the Notre Dame complex. Old people who love college football think Notre Dame
or is... Or love Rudy. That's the other
or one. Or love Rudy.
Yeah.
Are you a Rudy fan?
I grew up with people who were Rudy fans. And I was like, what is this? What are you?
You almost couldn't help it, Brian.
That's true.
You're an Egan.
That's true.
I would imagine you have people in your family who have an affinity
for Irish things. Like
Irish things. Rudy. I mean, yeah. I if give me any movie about a Jewish athlete
Potatoes,
that would ever exist.
Rudy, everything. Love it.
If there was a little Jewish guy who played at Brooke College basketball and won a championship, I would freaking love that
movie.
It's
the best of both worlds, too, because Sean Astin is himself shaped like a potato in that movie. So it's a perfect Venn diagram.
It's the Notre Dame complex. Old people think Notre Dame is this holy grail of college football. Thank you very much. And really, like our generation, Notre Dame's never been like that good. And there's a perception that they must, but everyone must fall in love with them. Like I would hear commentators like, oh, how could Notre Dame not get the recruits? It's the same thing with the Knicks. It's like the Knicks haven't been good for a while. So like if I'm a 21-year-old superstar in the NBA and I just saw like Kevin Durant, Oklahoma City growing up and him becoming a superstar. I see Giannis right now being a superstar in Milwaukee. You can see LeBron going back to Cleveland and still being, of course, the biggest superstar in the league. Like the idea that like you have to go to the Mecca, it loses its luster just because you've seen enough evidence to be like, I could play in Portland and be Dame Lillard, be a superstar, have my own shoe and drop hot fire on them tracks whenever I want to. I don't have to go to New York City or Los Angeles to do the things that I want to do, you know, technically outside of basketball.
Zoom. You got Zoom now, you know.
Zoom's dope. But not as good as Skype.
We're using Whereby right now. I don't know, you know, people
run over.
Whereby is good. I recommend Whereby.
What do you got stock in Whereby?
Yeah, The Athletic at checkout.
Are you the CFO of Whereby?
Yeah. You'll never know.
Keith Smith, NBA on Twitter. Keith Smith, the originator of the Orlando plan. says, starting to hear a lot of buzz that the Philadelphia 76ers are letting teams know they are open to trade talks if they hire Mike D'Antoni to be their next head coach. Philadelphia realizes that the current roster with all the bigs isn't built to be a successful D'Antoni team. I don't think that means Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid are getting loosened up on the trade market.
Trying to get rid of Al Horford? Come on.
Would you trade Caris LeVert for Al Horford?
You wish, Philly. You are, and you're married to Tobias, the whole deal. Yeah, they're in a weird spot.
Tobias probably could get flipped to the New York Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Great one.
That's a Knicks thing. That's okay.
Yep. From Queens. Queens native. Mike.
Long Island.
Shh, you're right.
Is he from Queens?
No, you're right. I think it is Long Island.
Yeah. Is Long Island Queens, though? I actually had a fight about that in the newsroom because I was like, you know, technically it's the same island.
Hunk of land.
He's from Islip. Anyways, Brian.
Michael. Really, you brought it today. I wish I had more in the tank for you.
50 minutes. What are we doing with our lives? Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in your ears as soon as possible. We'll do Blank Slate next week. We still have on the back burner Office Killer Comparisons. The Office Killer Comparisons.
So much on the back burner. We've got a great back burner.
Yeah, better than our front burner.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what. Never mind. I was going to make some stupid joke. Okay. About
off air. We'll take it off air. Jeez.
Thank you all for listening. If you guys could, and if you're here at this point, please 5 stars on iTunes. We want them. We need them. We have to have them. Brian.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Okay. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.